Let me add my welcome. It's good to be here to worship with all of you. You know, according to Matthew, Easter was an earthquake. Mark, Luke, and John, they all describe, they describe more peaceful versions of the event. But for Matthew, Easter shook the world. You know, in fact, if you read Matthew's account of Jesus' death and resurrection, that theme runs throughout. The earth shaking, the temple curtain torn in two, rocks splitting, tombs broken open, and an angel rolling away the stone. You know, for Matthew, Easter is an earthquake that shook the world. And I think it's, you know, on many levels, it's accurate to say that Jesus' resurrection was an earthquake. And I want to look at three ways that the resurrection shook the people of that day and continues to shake people today. Three things. The Easter earthquake is a seismic shift in our thinking. Number two, the Easter earthquake reveals the magnitude of God's grace. And then number three, the Easter earthquake sends out aftershocks of hope. So let's go to the first point. The Easter earthquake, it shakes our thinking. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. That's an intellectually challenging statement. A man who was dead and placed in a tomb is now alive. That's an intellectually challenging message, no matter when you lived in history. You know, there were dozens of would-be messiahs in Palestine in the years surrounding Jesus' life and ministry. Have you ever heard of them? Probably not, because here's what happened to them. Romans had a efficient way of dealing with messiahs. They killed them. They killed them, and then you know what their followers did? They went home, and that movement that was, you know, part of following that particular Messiah was over. They were never heard of again. But the Christian movement didn't die after Jesus' death. In fact, it grew. It grew so rapidly that it overtook the Roman Empire in about 200 years. Why? Why? Well, the church has always maintained that it's because Jesus rose from the dead, and that he appeared to his disciples. And that is why they went out and told the world. But most modern people do not believe it's true. Most modern people object. They say the story is simply a myth. They acknowledge that they don't know what happened, but that they know that what is written in the Bible did not happen. The Gospels, they would say, are really just sensationalized accounts of a real figure, Jesus. But we have little to no idea about what really happened. But scholars tell us there's a big problem with that line of thinking. The Gospels are not written in the way of modern fables. All you have to do is read them and compare them to modern fables. They're not the same. Rather, the Gospels are written in the way of ancient history. Here's just one example. You take the last few verses of Matthew chapter 27 and the first verses of Matthew 28, and Jesus mentions the women by name who were present at Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, or, as he describes, the other Mary. Why so precise and so repetitive? It's Matthew's way of saying, look, If you want to validate what I am telling you, just go ask them. You know, many of the people who were alive at the time of Jesus' death and resurrection were alive when these Gospels were written. So it's a way of saying, look, if you don't believe me, just go ask these other people. You know, also modern people say, well, ancient people were credulous. They weren't really as smart as we are today. And therefore, because of their ignorance, they were predisposed to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Well, that just doesn't really ring true, because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus told them three times that he would be put to death and that he would rise again on the third day, but still no one suspected it. He writes that even the angel poked at them about this. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Why didn't they expect it? Because they knew dead people stayed dead. That's why. You know, if Matthew had been making this up, don't you think that at least one of the disciples would have gone, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the third day, and gone and checked? No, they didn't. They didn't go and check. Because they believed dead people stayed dead, just like we do. You know, they had more experience with death in their daily lives than we do. Death for them was just a common occurrence of daily life. And that was one thing that they were sure of, is that dead people stayed dead. The disciples didn't expect it. Matthew tells us only the women went to the tomb. Why did the ancient followers of Jesus believe? Because they allowed the evidence to challenge their intellectual assumptions. You know, it's easy, but it's intellectually lazy to say, well, they just believed stuff like that back then. No, they didn't. They did not believe that dead people came back to life. But they allowed their assumptions to be challenged. How do you explain this little tiny group of people, of literally nobodies, changing the world? It's unprecedented in human history. How do you explain that? How do you explain that they, one, said they saw him, and two, they then went out and preached until it got them killed? How do you explain that? Their explanation is because he rose from the dead. And he told us to go out and to tell all people. So the Easter earthquake, it really challenges our thinking. The second thing that's revealed by this earthquake is that it reveals the magnitude of God's grace. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. That's a word of grace and forgiveness. Now you say, now where is that? I don't hear that. Well, consider the message that Jesus didn't send. Go tell those faithless, backstabbing traitors to meet me in Galilee. No, he didn't say that. But they deserted him at his darkest hour. You know, of the 12 disciples, one of them betrayed him, one of them denied him, and the other 10 abandoned him. But he didn't chastise them for their failure, for turning their backs on him. He didn't make them grovel. It's a message of grace. It's a message of forgiveness. Jesus has not given up on them. He still wants them to be leaders in his kingdom movement. You know, just after this passage, Jesus gathers them together. He tells them, look, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. He sends them out to the whole world as his ambassadors. He takes these faithless few and anoints them as the leaders of his entire movement. That is a story of forgiveness and grace. You know, we typically associate forgiveness and grace with the crucifixion, and rightfully so. Yes, as Peter tells us, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, Jesus died for our sins, but it is the resurrection that proves that our debt has been paid. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. In other words, your sins have not been forgiven. The resurrection, in essence, is God's receipt. It's his guarantee that Jesus' death on the cross did, in fact, pay your debt. And so the disciples, even though they had failed Jesus in his most important hour, they were given a fresh start. A fresh start that forgiveness brings. And the same is true for us. Because of God's grace, the grace that is made known to us in Jesus, in his death and resurrection, we too can be forgiven. We can be set free. The Easter earthquake gives us hope. Gives us hope. Matthew, he provides a detail here that's very important, but can easily be overlooked. He writes, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet. They took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They grabbed his feet. Why is that significant? Why does Matthew tell us that? Because it shows that Jesus is not merely a vision or a hallucination. It's Jesus with his resurrected body. Why does that matter? Why is the bodily resurrection of Jesus important? Why has the church always affirmed that he rose again, that his body was resurrected? Well, it's important for a lot of reasons. But one of them has to do with the idea of redemption. Redemption, that's a word we use a lot. You know, it is amazing that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can be forgiven. That's wonderful news, but there's more. Redemption involves the recovery or the buying back of something that has been lost. In the resurrection, Jesus regained what he had lost. He lost his life. His body was lifeless and placed in a tomb. But after the resurrection, that dead body is now full of life. He had the marks of his suffering, but they were no longer a hindrance to him. His resurrected body is now stronger, more full of life than ever. What was lost has been regained, even better than before. As Tolkien puts it in the Return of the King, everything sad has come untrue. God has taken the horrifying reality of the crucifixion and actually turned it into something beautiful. That's redemption. Taking something that is awful and turning it into something wonderful. You know, I celebrated my 52nd birthday this week. I'm accumulating some miles on the tires. In a couple of weeks, I'll have a daughter graduating from high school. And I realize this is my 17th Easter here at Christ Church. I've spent a third of my life, half of my adult life, in this community. And those kind of milestones make me reflect a little bit. And as I look back on my life, I'm just blessed beyond anything I could have ever imagined. Really. Way more than I deserve. My life has been filled with such good things. But you know, the truth is, it hasn't all been good. There are things that when I look back, I see loss. I see hurt. And I'm not talking about things that have hurt me. I'm talking about how I have hurt other people. People that I love. And there's a deep sense of remorse, sadness for those things. Hoping and praying that those scars will heal and those people will not be hindered in their lives. But the good news of Easter is that not only are those things forgiven, but God is redeeming my life. He's restoring what has been lost. In other words, God is taking everything in my life, even or perhaps especially the difficult things, the bad things, and He's using them to write a story that is all for my good and for His glory. That's essentially what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In all things, God is at work for my good. And that means I can face the future trusting that whatever comes my way, God will be glorified in my life. There is nothing that I will face that Jesus hasn't already overcome. And there is no religion that offers hope like that. Why? Why do we have that hope? Because of the resurrection. We know that this is not the only life that we will have. We know that this is not the only body we will have. Life is going to be redeemed for all eternity. And that means we do not have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid even of suffering and death. We can say with the Anglican clergyman and poet George Herbert, death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. Spare not, do thy worst. I shall be one day better than before. Do you believe it really happened? Or is it just a nice symbol that gives us an excuse to dye eggs and dress up and go to lunch? Can you imagine the early church going out to the poor and to the slaves? That was their primary audience because that's basically who most of the people were. Can you imagine them going out and saying, Well, Jesus had a good thing going, but he was killed. We wish he was still alive, but he's not. So let's just pretend that he is and all be nice to each other. That's about all you can say if there is no resurrection. That's not what gave people hope in the midst of their poverty and oppression. Of course not. You want to know what they said? Here's what the early preachers said. We saw him. We touched him. We ate and drank with him. He is risen. And you know what that means? It means the world has a new Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God's resurrection power has come into this world. And everything, someday, it will be made right. So believe. Go and tell people the good news. Always have hope and be at peace. Because Jesus loves you, and he promises you that everything, yes, everything, someday will be made right. Alleluia. Christ is risen.